DGS on KMOX. Happy Monday. Pardon me. Wouldn't it be great if I died right now and you guys be like, we killed Dave Glover?
I wouldn't call it great.
Well, it'd be your show. Oh. I was just complimenting the chicken wing. I'm like, it's the perfect amount of spice. Now I'm like dying from it in a little bit.
I'm not going to lie. It's good. It's perfect. It's the perfect amount, but it's a little sneaky. Like it doesn't start with it, but it's there when you finish.
Yeah. So Andrew,
it's good, man. It's a good heat.
Andrew's birthday was yesterday and wanted to have some food brought in. So I went to Julie Lally, who sets up everything in my life. And she's like, how about D.D. Mao, the Vietnamese? And I'm like, oh, I love that place. And I do. And so we have Julie Shi, who's the owner. And we have Andrew. We have Felina, who's not going to talk. And thank you guys so much.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. We love it.
So I grew up in a very traditional family over on the East Side. And when white people say traditional, they mean racist.
And also plain food.
Yeah, like my mom and dad, they were not racist, but they did not have a sophisticated palate. Uh-huh. I didn't taste any type of Asian food till I was college.
What?
Maybe law school.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of primarily what I eat. Uh-huh. I just love it. But I don't understand the differences. Uh-huh. So tell me about Vietnamese food.
Yeah, so Vietnamese food is a lot of like fresh herbs and a lot of noodles. We do a lot of like grilled meats and soup. So pho, our spicy lemongrass, lots of soup, even though it's like super, super hot outside. And with just a lot of herbs. And that's what our Vietnamese food is really about.
Is there a difference between pho and ramen? Or is that basically the same thing?
They are different.
Okay.
So ramen is more like they're shoyu and tonkatsu, which is like either a soy sauce based or a like a bone broth base. Mm-hmm. Pho is a bone broth base, but it's slow simmered and it's cooked like over 2 days. It's very clean and simple with rice noodles, mm-hmm, versus like a wheat noodle that ramen has.
Family business?
Actually, it's my husband and I. I started in 2018, and then when Andrew married me, he kind of helps me now, so he's my partner in this.
Good man. Good choice.
He had no choice.
package deal.
And he's like, I'm an engineer by training, but...
It's good.
How is that? How's the vibe? Like working with your spouse?
It's good. We don't really... We don't really fight, you know. I think we always...
At the restaurant.
Yeah.
it's your sanctuary.
But we're a great team.
Yeah, I like working together. It makes every day fun. We see each other way too much, but it's good. We both enjoy it.
Yeah. I think what really helps too, we're very passionate about business, our business, and we have the same goals. You know, we love our staff. We really care about that, and we just really love hospitality in general. And I think that's what makes it easy for us.
Do you guys do a lot of the cooking? Do you have specialized chefs who do a lot of the cooking?
We have specialized chefs for that. We just really oversee operations and just manage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you find a Vietnamese chef? You know, I mean...
Most of our team are Hispanic, but we really just... check up on them and make sure the quality is always consistent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the food services for a little bit. I hate to brag, but I worked at Mr. Donut. so I'm familiar when the kitchen gets crazy. But like, I couldn't watch The Bear.
Yeah. Oh.
I watched the first episode and I'm like, I'm out. Too much drama.
Yeah.
Like, has it changed?
I mean, I feel like our restaurant isn't really like that though.
They dramatize it a lot, but it is some aspects very similar. You know, everybody's just like some conflict. Somebody gets, you know, kind of butthurt about something.
Yeah,
and
then that's true.
We're just like, oh, I guess we're
like the peer mediators at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. People get sucked into the restaurant industry, you know,
mm-hmm,
and they can't get out. They just like it's a lifestyle.
It is.
We both grew up in the restaurants, and that's kind of why we just kind of fell back into it too. Like both of our parents had restaurants on their own, and we grew up working there way too young.
Rach, jump in.
Yeah, Sorry, my mic was off for some reason. I was going to ask, you know, you talk about how fresh this food is, and it's certainly very delicious. I've been sneaking bites. That's why my mic was off, because I was chewing.
Can verify.
Talk a little bit about, you know, this is kind of a rough time for a lot of industries, but I know in the restaurant business, it's got to be tough with rising costs. Like, you want to keep that freshness and this great reputation you have, but then you have to balance that with, you know, supply chain issues. Like, what's that been like over the past couple of years?
I mean, our quality and us has never changed. You know, we always like bring in fresh produce every single week. We cut it by hand every single week. But obviously, yeah, with rising costs, it does hurt us a little. So, you know, we just have to make our price changes to kind of affect that, but we would never want to bring down the quality.
Yeah, that's awesome. And and you guys were talking about, you know, moving to this new location in Webster Groves. I was just telling Dave, what was it last week? I'm like, I love Webster. I feel like you guys have such a great community there. Yes. Just like talk a little bit about that. And are you friends with like other restaurateurs in the area?
Oh yeah, we're definitely, you know, since it's such a small neighborhood too, we're friends with like Frisco, John Barr, Lauren, our amazing neighbor, like at the corner unit. She's been amazing because ever since I started opening, because we opened around the same time, so she's been super supportive. If I have any questions, I'll just go and ask her. But the restaurant community is very small, and we are all so close.
We're talking to Julie Shi and Andrew and Felina from Didi Mao Vietnamese. I'm always going to include you. You're my girl. Tell us about the banh mi's.
Yeah. So the banh mi. So right now we're doing like the neighborhood series because St. Louis has such different neighborhoods with different personalities. So every 2 weeks, we'll feature a new banh mi. The first week right now is The Hill. So Italian-inspired, what we gravitated was Pizza de Gloria because it's one of our favorite restaurants. And we made a Vietnamese meatball Italian sandwich. And then the next week, we'll do The Loop. And then the third is Cherokee, and then the fourth is Soulard. So every week we'll kind of feature a new banh mi, but those we will announce as it gets closer.
Yeah. Did you guys grow up in St. Louis?
Yes.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
From the food perspective?
It's amazing. We go out and try.
It's growing so much, too. Yeah. You know, we just got a James Beard Award winner. I just love seeing it grow, especially like nice, good restaurants coming in town or chefs just opening their own restaurant. It's just kind of cool. And like, oh, I could get this in St. Louis now.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. George Mahey from St. Louis Magazine, who I'm sure you know, has done every Friday with us for 25 years. And I'm always just so impressed that in the worst of economies, people are still opening restaurants. Mm-hmm. It's so ballsy, you know? One of my best friends, Mark Bolger, was the quarterback for the Rams. And he and I, back probably 10 years ago or more, we're going to open a restaurant. And we even had George come out and look at a couple spaces. And back then, the number was 500,000, which we gagged at. And now it can be like a million if you're going to do like a fancy ambiance.
Yeah.
Do you do that? Yeah. It's a sickness you people have. Yeah,
exactly. That's what happened to us when we opened Big Ben. It's like, oh. Well then.
Right. Yeah. We're all in now.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great. So give yourself a plug. I mean, talk about why you guys are great.
I think Didi Mao is great just because the freshness of the food, the atmosphere, the customer service. You know, we just kind of work on everything that makes everyone wants to come back. You know, our flavors just touching on spicy, vegan, doing these neighborhood series. It just makes it fun, and we put our kind of heart and soul into it, and I think it hopefully shows, you know. So.
Yeah, and it's Vietnamese food, but with a modern take. So, you know, if you've never had Vietnamese food before, it's an approachable menu.
Yes.
That way people can just really try it and won't be intimidated.
Yes. Great wings.
Yeah, thank
great
you.
Wings.
They're so good.
Yeah. Do you guys travel to Vietnam often?
No. I mean, a long time ago. 2006 was my last time there.
Mine was like 2012, maybe? Yeah.
We want to go back. But
it's on our list, but there's just like such a big world out there. You just
That's right.
We'll go back there again. again.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks for what you do.
Thank you
for bringing it to us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
You're friends of the show now. Literally anytime you want to come in.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. You're up it up.
GS and Camo X, 323. Happy Monday to you.
Thanks again to DD Mao.
Yes. I love those guys.
Thank you to them for bringing it in, and thank you to you for setting it up. This was truly delicious.
Happy to.
And a wonderful treat.
Wheeler, got anything big this week we can get food brought in for? Your back starts feeling better.
I'm trying out like 3 new meds for the back. So
yeah. Hey, this is Wheeler's 4-day anniversary of his back hurting. So we should probably get some food in here.
I think that's a good idea.
Get some pizza brought in or something.
What's good heal your back food?
Probably that hill bun me.
I'm about to touch that. I'm about to hit that during
about
the break.
To touch it. Don't get weird.
I just touched it right now. Look at this.
Speaking of touching it, this...
Don't say it like that.
Well, you'll see. This story's about a week old, and I just didn't get to it, but it's worth doing. Okay, I'll just say it. Here's the thing. There's a guy in China. I don't know what motivated him, but he cut off his own genitals.
I saw that.
Set them on fire.
Uh-huh.
And threw them into a building to commit arson.
It was his mom's house, I think.
That tracks.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah, if you're going to cut off your genitals and set them on fire, you're throwing them at your mom.
That was one of the craziest things I've ever heard, using that to, I almost got myself in trouble.
That's why I brought the whole thing up.
That's a different meaning to firewood.
That's not bad.
Gross.
Nasty.
Sorry. After thinking about it, I'm like, okay, I can't get in trouble for that. It's just poor taste.
Rachel, allow me to apologize for what he just said.
I've never been so offended.
That is not funny, Mr. Wheeler.
Hey, after the first hour, that's pretty clean.
I saw a thing that made me sad on TikTok.
Was it that guy?
No, that made me laugh. This guy seemed like a normal guy. Didn't say what he did for a living. He was probably Wheeler's age. And he said, I have hated my job for 30 years. And I do okay, but I can't retire anytime soon. So I'm probably going to do it for another 15 or 20. And it just... And he said, I wonder how many people there are out there like me.
Oh.
So, of course, you look at the comment section, and
tons.
It was just hundreds of people.
Mm-hmm.
So thankful.
Yes.
Like, on any given day, if you said, hey, Dave, it's Monday. You want to go do the show? You want to hang out another day? I'll hang out on the couch. But I don't dread coming in.
Yeah.
And I always have fun. And I guess maybe that's rare.
I think it's exceedingly rare.
Yeah.
I know some people who are going through some truly miserable times at work right now. And, you know, no job is perfect. You know what I mean? Every job is a job, and every job you because you have to do it because you got to put food on the table.
Yeah.
But some jobs are truly horrible and nightmarish. And I think we're all very, very lucky to not have those.
I think this is a thing, Dave, or I think it's similar. Your dad and my dad were similar. They didn't like their jobs. They did them because they served a purpose. You know, my dad had jobs that were very demanding, very difficult, physically and mentally. You know, I mean, working for UPS is not an easy job, especially when you get to be like running a, you know, whole center, delivery center. But like his big thing to me, he pushed to me nonstop was get a job you like.
Yeah.
Like when you go to school, do it so you can get a job you like doing.
Mine too.
Yep.
Yep.
And it's the correct play.
Yeah. Can I tell you how much I love being in the Glover comedy family? Nick and I went to a ball game last week, and we were walking out, and they were playing the Proclaimers. Well, I would walk 500. And I said, do you think, because they're twins, I said, do you think when one of them dies, the other one will just go out as the Proclaimer? And Nick just picked it up and started singing just one half of the song and then crying on the other parts. It's just so much fun when your family gets it.
I was going to go with I would walk 250 miles.
See? That's good. I think the line of the day so far is when we were talking about BDSM, and you said, I'm not comfortable being tied up in ropes, but I just love acronyms. That's a good one. That's a good one. Uh-huh. Guys, DGS on KMOX 334. Dave Murray is not with us today for a very sad reason. Dave is fine. Janice is fine. But Dave texted Rach and I early this morning. The official dog of the DGS, Rain Murray.
Oh, no.
Had a couple of strokes last night. And so Dave and Janice are taking Rain for his last vet appointment this afternoon. I'm not sure if it's happened yet, but yeah, they're putting Rain down. And I was literally bawling as Dave and I were texting because Rain's been on every show.
Right.
Her whole life.
Yeah.
Laying at Dave's feet during his hit and, you know, getting grumpy when it's time to go walk. And never met Rain, but we all love dogs here in the DGS. We've all lost dogs. And there's just no loss like that.
Yeah.
It just tears your soul.
Mm-hmm. It's hard, man, because, I mean, look, there are harder things. Like, we all agree, right? Losing a child is harder. I haven't done it, but I would assume it is. Losing a parent has to be harder. Haven't done that yet, but I'm assuming it will be. But it's right there. I mean, those are your buddies every day. Any pet, those are your buddies every single day.
Maybe I'm a psycho, but I can tell you this. I cried harder when I lost Doggy.
I get it.
Than my parents.
There is a difference because, and I'm not sure what it is. Maybe it's because we always think of the pets almost like children.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of the space they occupy in a family. They are kind of like, they're not quite children, but they kind of are in that spot, right, where you have to do everything for them and, you know, all that.
Well, they're better.
Well, they don't talk back.
Yeah.
Although my dog talks back. He just doesn't say words.
So, yeah. You know, condolences to the Murray family. I'm not sure if Dave will be back tomorrow or not, but told him take all the time you need. Wanted to talk about something.
Oh, can I say something?
Yeah, of course, Ben.
Well, it's going to seem like I have something to say about Rain, and I am very sad about that, and we send best wishes to Dave and Janice, but if Dave were here, his weather would have been sponsored by McHealthy Homes. Sorry, got to get that.
Got to do business, man.
Sorry we put you in that position.
Business never stops.
I've been holding on to this for over a week now. And I wanted to wait till Wheeler was here because I think he's going to really get what I'm saying. Doug Burgum, who is the interior czar, something, I don't know. He was on one of the Sunday shows, I guess a week ago yesterday. And he was talking about the reflecting pool. And he was just talking S. He was just talking about, oh, these people, they tore up the whole 700 feet and they this and they that. And the moderator said, do you have any proof of this? And he really stumbled around and he's like, oh, well, they've been indicted. I'm sure there's proof. Hey, MF, bring the evidence. Yeah. I'm so sick of living in an evidence-free society. You can say an election was stolen. You can say that an Olympic athlete tore up the whole thing. You can blame American citizens for everything. You can go after the media. I'm fine with all of that if you have evidence, real evidence, not Rubio said this to J.D. Van. No, actual evidence. If you're religious, I suggest you have evidence. If you are whatever you are, don't expect me to just take your word for anything. I'm not talking about like, oh, D.D. Mao has the best Vietnamese. Show me the evidence. I'm talking about real big issues, political, societal. And we have just decided or accepted that people can just make gigantic claims with little to no or even negative evidence. There can be evidence to
contradictory evidence,
you,
yeah.
And you just like blow it off. And I've said my piece.
No, I that is arguably one of the biggest problems you have in the world right now. Because if evidence doesn't matter, then there is no truth. There are just versions of truth. And the evidence is not perfect. It's not like everything has a perfect answer to it. But having evidence is better than not. It's just saying things and claiming things. And when you're the Secretary of the Interior, you have the means to get information. When you're the President of the United States, when you're the head of the FBI, when you're in charge of these places, evidence is available to you anytime you want it. That's what I say about the 2020 election stuff. If you have evidence, where has it been for the last 8 years or 6 years? Just present it. You have it. You say you have it. Where is it?
Yeah.
It's like saying, yeah, I got a Ferrari in my garage. Oh, can I see it? No. But you have to believe me, there's a Ferrari in my garage. I don't understand why we all are so easily accepting of it.
Yeah. I mean,
and from our own side, which is the dumb part. You shouldn't accept that from anyone.
I'm an agnostic who believes Bigfoot is real. Right? So you're going to need to give me some evidence if you think you know who created the universe. Give me some evidence. And if you give me what you call evidence and I say, that's not evidence, that's on you. Same way with Bigfoot. I can talk to you. I can talk to you for an hour about how many people have seen Bigfoot, about all of the different this and that. But you know what? I'm smart enough to get at the end of the day, that's not really evidence.
No.
You need a body. You need some DNA. You need something that you can really, you know, bite into. Mm-hmm. And it's just evidence has become so flimsy in our modern society.
And the burden of proof is on the person making a claim.
Always.
Because you're stating something in the affirmative. So if you're stating something in the affirmative, that means you can prove it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's in doubt. Otherwise, it's not affirmative. It's neither. It's either a negative or a nothing.
Yeah.
So if you're making a statement as if it's truthful, there has to be a factual basis for it, or it's not the truth. It's just a story.
And here's sort of just a related thought: how can Todd Blanche possibly even be considered to be the full-time attorney general? Much less confirmed, based on most of his work has been with the Epstein files, and he has either completely failed or he is a criminal and he knows what is there and he's trying to cover it up. But either way, I remember when a judge, when I was a lawyer, hasn't been all that long ago, when a judge would say, hey, you either this or you're going to be in contempt. Well, you did it. You figured out a way to get them the documents or whatever it was that they were looking for. Isn't it a quaint idea that when Congress passes a law and says, here's what you have to do, and then the DOJ just doesn't do it, and we bitch and moan for a while, but then we get distracted by something else shiny?
Yeah. Well, because there are always people playing the game, the game of politics. There will always be some form of cover for the people that are on your team. You can pick which team you want to fight about. I don't care. They're both doing the same dynamic. When it's our team, we defend it. When it's the other team, we attack it.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder if Blanche is going to get confirmed. Because I keep seeing all these reports that it's very up in the air. I honestly wonder if we will have a confirmed attorney general throughout this administration. Because I don't think the Epstein files are getting released in full anytime soon. So I wonder if we'll just kind of continuously go through a process where we have someone sitting in that respect, and then. Yep.
But I mean, the idea that laws don't matter is insane.
It is. In this country, it is.
Or that a court ruling you just ignore.
Well, and then.
Because without those structures, you got nothing, man. You have nothing.
Well, I mean, maybe we're jumping ahead. I mean, don't you think these people will eventually face a consequence for refusing to cooperate with subpoenas, whatever?
I really don't know.
I mean, I would love
to believe
it.
Do you guys think
Pam
Bondi is just going to ride off into the sunset and everything's fine?
That I do.
Yes.
All right.
I think they're all going to write books when all of this is done, and they'll make money off it, and then they'll come clean. Then they'll come clean and say who was doing the dirty and why this was bad, and it wasn't my fault. It was them. It'll be the books that we see 4 and 5 years down the road that show us that they just played the game.
And then, like, you've seen the evolution of Michael Cohen, who is Trump's fixer,
yeah,
and so loyal, right, and lied his ass off. Then he goes to Congress to flip on Trump, lied his ass off some more. Then he starts getting paid to do an anti-Trump podcast. And then through some series of events, he and Trump are now besties again, because he's going to be doing an actual radio show, I think at WABC. And now Trump's the greatest thing since sliced bread. F you. And everything about you. How dare you take up our valuable time when you are just a whore?
Yeah.
That's all it is.
There's a whole lot of those people, too. Who's the other dude, the guy that the joke is about because he lasted like 4 minutes in the administration? Scaramucci.
Oh, Scaramucci.
Same thing. You're a suck-up until they turn on you, and now you're like, no, I'm one of the good guys. No, you're not. You just got rejected. You lost your job, so you decided to find a paycheck somewhere else.
And then that doesn't work, and then you go back to being a suck-up.
I'll say one more thing about politics. I love a good conspiracy theory. It's entertaining, but I'm not sucked in very easily. This proof of life picture of Mitch McConnell and his wife, I don't know. This thing looks pretty hinky to me.
It makes me feel insane because everything about that appears to be AI. The newspaper looks very badly photoshopped. But also, if you voice these things, you sound like a crazy person.
Sure. Yeah.
But I'm also like, I can't help that I'm not really buying it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hate the way it makes me feel. I hate the way they're making me feel.
Yeah, it's bizarre. This kind of gets back that we were talking about before. If we are now hearing was the story, he had a fall, treated for pneumonia. Why didn't you just tell everybody that? You're a major person in the United States political world. You have constituents relying on you. People should get to know what your status is. I get that you have medical privacy. I don't want someone else to release it. I don't want the hospital to release it. But that should be an expectation of someone in a public office. Not a celebrity, a public office holder, because your health is directly related to the job you're doing,
yeah,
if you can't be there for 4 months.
Craig says that Mitch only did the picture because of Lindsey Graham dying over the weekend. Very possible.
I just feel bad that they made him put on jeans.
Well, this is the thing. Who sits in a hospital bed with jeans on?
Whenever you have something to prove, it's like, look, he's wearing jeans.
Yeah.
I feel bad that they made him do that because he's obviously not doing well.
And I'm going to go home and throw myself down the stairs because he looks 15 years younger than he did before.
That's just the face tune.
His skin's better than mine.
Is there anyone in the country who does not or should not have a certain medical privacy rights? Like, do we have a right? Like, if there is something seriously wrong with, like, you know, the president in some way, physical or mental or whatever, do we as citizens of the country have the right to know that? Or does that not, Trump, no pun intended, his right to, like, have medical privacy and HIPAA and all that?
I just think it comes down to whether or not it impacts your ability to do your job. If it impacts your ability to do your job, then we should know.
Well, we have the right to know. But the problem is, it's on these people to do the right thing and tell us.
Yeah.
I don't think that, like, we should make it to where it's like, if you get this certain condition, you have to tell everyone. I think we should continue to rely on the integrity of the people in these positions to come clean and do the right thing. It just, unfortunately, whether it's always been like this or we just have a particularly bad batch,
right,
that's just not happening.
And this is the Joe Biden thing that we all complained about when it was clear that he was having problems and they were pretending that he wasn't. It's the same thing. And if you were mad about that, you should be mad about this. Like, we shouldn't go months and months and months being lied to about people with important positions in the government.
And if you're mad about this, you should have been mad about that.
Yes.
Welcome back, DGS on KMOX. We're just talking, kicking it around in the studio on the break that, Lindsey Graham passed away and someone's going to have to take his seat. And it looks like it's going to be his sister. And
or
Rach,
that's who Trump wants anyway.
Yeah, Rach was saying.
She got picked just this afternoon.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want it to be like anything about Trump or anything about Lindsey Graham even. No. I'm always confused when it's like, and this blood relation is going to be the perfect person to replace. I mean, for any occupation.
Right.
I understand if you were like your father's apprentice or something, then it makes total sense. But what is it about being Lindsey Graham's sister that makes you the appropriate person to take his spot? Are we claiming that she like can commune with him and knows exactly his wishes or something like that?
Yeah,
but then you also have to translate that into working as a senator.
Yeah.
I mean, I would think he just can't roll up and start doing that with absolutely no preparation, but maybe I'm wrong.
It's very monarchical. You know?
Yeah, it's odd. It's like, I didn't think we did that in the U.S.,
but
we do
England.
It all the time. We do it all the time.
I fully agree.
So I guess the next person will have to be elected, right?
Yes.
Because Trump's saying he wants Besant.
Because she's just serving out his term.
Right.
Yeah.
So whatever he's got.
And now somebody has to step on the ballot to replace him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, isn't that, I mean, that's just part of the whole jacked up thing to important jobs. Why does it come down to, well, you know, she was at some of his rallies and stuff.
Yep.